Matt McLaughlin with us here on 101.5 FM, and we're here to discuss the Tet Offensive, which was fought during the Vietnam War. Matt, welcome to the program.
Great to be here.
That's good. Look, just before we start, I'd like to acknowledge all of our Vietnam War veterans who paid, we need to pay the greatest respect for their service and courage they displayed throughout the Vietnam War. Now, Matt, the 30th of January marks the anniversary of the Tet Offensive in the Vietnam War. And if we could just start by discussing, you know, what was the Tet Offensive?
Well, this really was a turning point in the Vietnam War because it was the time when the North Vietnamese, the enemy that we were fighting in Vietnam, took a real change of tack in their approach to the war. Up until this point, they'd been concentrating on guerrilla tactics in the jungle, but during the Tet Offensive, which was launched during the Chinese New Year or Tet celebrations, they launched a massive and completely unexpected attack which concentrated mostly on urban centres. So a huge force attacked more than 100 towns and cities across South Vietnam. So it was a real turning point in the war because it was completely unexpected from our side. We didn't know it was coming. And even though the attack was ultimately unsuccessful, we within a space of time eventually defeated the attack, it really marked a turning point in the Vietnam War because it really changed people's outlook on what was going on during the war. So it's a very significant date and one of the best known offensives of the entire war.
And of course, Matt, all wars are costly, and sadly it's the people who suffer the most. You know, in your research and experience, what effect did it have on our Viet vets?
Well, Australia's involvement in the Tet Offensive was somewhat limited compared to what the Americans were going through in places like Saigon and Hue in particular. The Americans were fighting a really brutal campaign against the North Vietnamese. It wasn't quite so strong against us where we were down in Phuc Thuy province near Saigon, but we still were involved in it, particularly in places like Baria, the town of Baria, which was captured by the North Vietnamese, and we then had to liberate that town. So it was a campaign that all Australian veterans would recall if they were there at the time in 1968. But the biggest effect was not so much on the fighting men, but it was on the perception of the war from people back at home. Because we remember that the Vietnam War was the first fully televised war, and it was quite shocking to people at home in either Australia or America to see this fighting, this house-to-house fighting in the streets of the towns and cities of Vietnam. So it played a big role in swinging public perception away from the war.
And of course, that perception really was the catalyst to start bringing our soldiers home, wasn't it?
Yeah, you're right. The war was very unpopular. Ironically, up until this point, the war was going pretty well. From most people at home felt that the war could be won and that we were making good steps in Vietnam. But the Tet Offensive really turned that all on its head because all of a sudden people saw footage of Australian and American troops fighting for their lives in the streets of the towns and cities of Vietnam. So when they saw that the North Vietnamese were not close to defeat, when the public at home saw that they were able to mount these huge offensives, it really did shock people at home. And it's what led almost directly to most of the protests and the real anti-war movements that we eventually saw. So those had always been brewing, but it wasn't until big offensives like the Tet Offensive that they really became widespread.
And I think the amount of casualties, particularly on the north side, they saw something like 40,000 of their troops, half of their troops, were annihilated in that offensive. That was really showing that their resolve was very, very strong, and that perception was coming about, can this war be won? Would that be a fair comment?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. There's a huge irony here that the north saw the Tet Offensive as a bit of a disaster, and the general who had planned it was demoted and his position was changed, and they saw that this was a big disaster, this offensive. And it wasn't until much later, perhaps even after the war, that they realised just what a propaganda victory it had been, because the Tet Offensive really did turn public impressions against the war back in Australia and in America. And so, ironically, the North didn't realise how successful the offensive had been from a propaganda point of view until long after it was over.
And you did say that their tactics changed a lot from the jungle warfare into marching on the cities. But I know the Vietnam War was renowned for the Viet Cong in tunnels. Now, is there a labyrinth of tunnels still in Vietnam today?
Yeah, there certainly is. You can go to lots of places in Vietnam and see the tunnels and the bunkers and the defensive fortifications that the North built to protect themselves, mostly from aerial bombardment, because, of course, the US Air Force was bombing the North Vietnamese wherever they could find them. But the most famous network of tunnels is at Cu Chi, which is very close to Ho Chi Minh City, or Saigon, as it was known. And so most people that do a trip to Vietnam will head out to Cu Chi and see the network of tunnels. And it's really, it's incredible when you get out there. And interestingly, the tunnels have actually been widened significantly to allow for us sort of chubby tourists to fit in them. But they were actually much smaller than they currently are during the war. And I think it can be quite shocking to visitors when they see it, because, again, it brings home this idea the North Vietnamese were not going to give up, that they would do whatever it took to keep fighting. And this tunnel system is a tangible representation of that. So it's really quite remarkable. They had hospitals, they had cooking facilities, they had accommodation for thousands of people, and, of course, fighting positions as well where they could wage this war from. So it's really quite a remarkable spot, and I'd recommend that everyone who goes to Vietnam goes out to Cu Chi and visits those tunnels.
Yes, and I think a tour like that would be very, very insightful. Please stay with us, and we will return shortly and continue our discussions over the Tet Offensive with Matt McLaughlin. And I have with me war historian Matt McLaughlin. Matt, we were discussing the tours that's available over there at Vietnam, but I'm really of the opinion, it's always been said you can learn a lot out of books, but really, until you can walk in the footsteps of our veterans, you don't get that true feeling for what it would have been like and what they had faced.
I absolutely agree. The number one thing you can do if you're interested in this or want to know more about it is actually get out there and walk the ground. And if you do that with a historian or a guide who can bring that history to life, it's just a remarkable experience to literally put yourself in the footsteps of those people that fought there. And so I'm very fortunate in my work that I get to lead battlefield tours all over the world, to France and to Gallipoli and Kokoda and through Vietnam. And it's really a rewarding experience to walk that ground, particularly with veterans. When we talk about Vietnam, to walk the ground with Vietnam veterans is just a fascinating and unique aspect of my work.
And look, we know that all wars have effect on people, and we know that our vets certainly were affected, and it would be fair to say that they weren't treated very well when they came back from the war. Is there any advice that you've got, that you've seen, that you can give to our vets who may require a little bit more assistance?
Yeah, I would say this to veterans from all wars. We've got a lot of veterans living in Australia now, particularly since Afghanistan and Iraq. There are a lot of younger veterans living in Australia now, so it's not just that. Well, we tend to think of war veterans as older people. There's a lot of young people in Australia who have served in wars and seen combat up close. So I'd say to them, you know, don't be afraid to reach out for help. There are good resources if you are struggling. And I'd say to other people who haven't served, when you see a veteran on days like Anzac Day or Remembrance Day, you know, go up and talk to them, shake their hand and just hear what they've got to say, because you'll be surprised that they're often quite happy to talk about their experiences and to share it with people who weren't there. And I think showing that connection and that camaraderie to show veterans that members of the community do appreciate what they've done is a really important aspect of their healing.
And that is part of us never forgetting what contribution that, you know, all of our vets, no matter which war they played in, deserve that recognition, don't they?
Absolutely. It's something that that we should remember, that there's a lot of veterans who've been to a lot of wars who are still in our community, and we have to look after them.
Look, you're exactly right. Now, I know that your tours out there take on a whole different front, but what's the feeling like in Vietnam with tourists coming in looking at that sort of history?
Surprisingly, they're actually very welcoming of tourists and even veterans coming back. There's a very strong feeling of reconciliation in Vietnam, and it's been a long time now. You know, we're talking 55 years since the Tet Offensive, so it's a long time, and I think most people have come to terms with it. The population of Vietnam is also very young, so most people in Vietnam today didn't live through the war, so there's not a lot of animosity. One of the most rewarding experiences for me is going to Vietnam and seeing Australian veterans reconnecting with their former enemies. And it can be confronting for them at first, but pretty soon they realise that they were all just young blokes doing their best for their country, and it's really rewarding to see North Vietnamese and Australian veterans coming together in the country where they fought.
And you're right, that is good to see. And I would also encourage anyone who has this side of interest, I think a guided walk is the best way to go, with particularly your knowledge that you've got of the grounds that you walk. But Matt, can I just say thank you very much for joining us here on 101.5, and I certainly wish you all the best as you move forward with your tours. Have you got any sort of podcasts coming up or books that you're writing at the moment?
Yeah, I've got a few things on the go. My book on the Cowra Breakout is in bookshops now, and I'm working on a new book about Gallipoli, and also working on my Battle Walks podcast, where we, in a virtual sense, walk the battlefields of the world, which is a really enjoyable thing to do. So there's a few ways people can connect with me and find out what I'm doing in the history space.
Well, I look forward to talking about the Cowra Breakout with you next time we chat. But until then, thanks, Matt, for being with us.
Thanks for your time.
And you've been listening to war historian Matt McLaughlin here on Morning Magazine on 101.5 FM.